You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
They say man is the most dangerous game, but the least dangerous game are film critics. Think about it. We never get off our ass. We're pasty because we're always indoors. We're on the couch constantly. And now in the age of coronavirus, we don't even get to leave the house anymore. So, yeah, you can pay top dollar to bag like, you know, an athlete or a professional hunter or survivalist. But if you just, you know, need to off somebody and you don't have a very big budget, start off with film critics. You know, it's basically hunting people, but with training wheels. I mean, really, we are easy pickings. I'm amazed any of us are even alive. But the reason I bring this up is not because that's my latest get-rich-quick scheme for oneofus.net, because I'm not going to volunteer myself to be hunted, although Chris Cox might say okay to that. I mention it because today we are joined to talk about a brand new, well, not brand new, it's a 2018 film, but it's just now getting a VOD release here in the States, a movie called The Prey by a gentleman whose work I'm not familiar with, but his name is Jimmy Henderson.
No relation.
No Muppets in this film. He's Italian and is apparently a self-taught filmmaker who is making movies in Cambodia because you can make them cheap there. Speaking of cheap, I'm joined by a crack hunting team of three great reviewers. LaWayne.
Hey, how's it going?
Max.
Hello.
And Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
Adrian, I think you're the younger one, so you might put up more of a fight than the others, but God forbid, you know, if anyone comes after us. I'm the first one to go, guys. I'm just letting you know, I don't have to outrun the killer. I just have to outrun the rest of you.
Well, that'll be easy. I've got like, I don't have like a good leg or a bad leg. I've got like a bad leg and a worse leg, so I don't run. So
yeah, I've been running a lot since March, so I could at least like outrun most.
All
of
right,
the
group, at you're least, prepared.
Prepared for the zombie apocalypse.
Well, in this movie, we don't have zombie apocalypses. We have rich assholes who like to kill people and will pay top dollar for the privilege. And as I mentioned earlier, the most dangerous game. If you have heard that name before, it's because it is one of the most influential short stories of all time. Written in the 20s by one Richard Connell. And it's been adapted so many times. It has an entire Wikipedia page just for the direct film adaptations and for screen, for radio, for television, etc. And that's not even counting the movies that kind of rip it off but aren't. This movie, though, is unapologetically based on that. It adds a few new twists. And to go into that, I'm going to go ahead and hand this over to Adrian, who's agreed to give us a brief synopsis of the film.
I think you got that incorrect. I did not agree to do that. LaWayne's going to take this.
I will. Yeah, I'll take that.
Damn it! Than I did.
Yeah,
damn
I'll it, take LaWayne. That.
I'm trying to
Adrian.
Keep him on his toes.
We
that's what I do.
Sound alike? If you just kind of close your eyes.
Yeah. Nah, that's not. I just have a bad memory. go for it, LaWayne.
Well, I mean, a lot of it you've already kind of covered. It's basically another version of the most dangerous game. In this case, one of the hunted targets is an undercover Chinese cop named Jian, who gets picked up in a raid and ends up in this prison where the warden will periodically hire out prisoners to be targets for these rich assholes to hunt and kill. And the warden will actually go along for the ride, too, sometimes. For the most part, that's fairly straightforward. What would potentially make this one a little different from some of the other versions are the rich assholes themselves. There, some of them have some interesting personality quirks that show up later in the movie that make their behavior a little different for this. But at the end of the day, the story really is just people getting chased by rich assholes with guns who are looking to kill human beings. I mean, it's like you said, it's the number of versions of the most dangerous game are legion, and this is another one. It just happens to be one that takes place, well, it's shot in Cambodia, and it means there's language barriers not just between the audience and the people in the movie, but even the characters within the movie have problems communicating because, as we mentioned, Xi is Chinese, everybody else is Thai or Cambodian. It kind of isn't really clear from, like, IMDb, which it is. And then they basically just try to kill each other. And that's the movie. So really it comes down to how much action you're wanting in your version of the most dangerous game.
Yeah, that's fair. Like you pointed out, the one wrinkle in this, and I kind of appreciate it, is that, you know, it's usually, I think in the original story, the guy was a big game hunter. But it's been convicts, it's been, you know, various kinds of prisoners or political refugees or, you know, poor people and homeless people. It's a pretty rich metaphor. And it's one of those that kind of gets updated every decade or so. And right now, because we've got so many things going on in the world and issues about poverty and the 1%, you go, well, yeah, sure. Why would that be so hard to believe that there's some rich asshole rather who's shot everything else there is? Why not take that next step and go to Cambodia? Into some place that's kind of off the grid and for a shitload of money have the hunt the most dangerous game. Where this kind of sets itself apart is the character of Jin by a newcomer whose name I'll butcher, Gu Shangwei. He's not really a character, let's be honest. Not that the actor's bad, it's just he has one character trait, undercover cop. That's it. Mm-hmm. However, I actually found him to be a very appealing lead. He's not a macho stone face killing machine. He's the kind of guy who, like, genuinely is trying to keep a low profile, doesn't want to get into trouble, kind of seems like he's scared at times and is vulnerable. And that makes, I think, for a compelling protagonist.
Well, one of the things that actually you were talking about, the sort of not literal weakness of the character, but one of the things that separates him from, I don't know, like the Jean-Claude Van Damme version of this or the Mike Norris version, is that he's because he's Chinese, he doesn't speak the native language. So he happens to be lucky enough that the one prisoner who's willing to help translate for him happens to be along for the ride. But that means that on top of keeping himself alive, he's got to keep the translator alive so he has some idea what's going on. Which is kind of an interesting little addition to it.
Here's the problem with this movie for me. And it's not even really the movie's own fault. It's unfortunately the fault of The Raid 2, and The Night Comes for Us. And by that I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm kind of at a certain standard when it comes to my action films. So when you tell me, I mean, outright maybe this wasn't implied, but from the poster, from the marketing, from the trailer, it kind of seems like this is going to be at that level. Like, this is going to be the most dangerous game with the type of action that you would see in The Raid or The Raid 2. And unfortunately, the action's not bad, but it's just not that exciting. I feel like the movie really kind of pulls back at any opportunity that it has a chance to. And maybe I'm a terrible person for wanting something a little more vicious and bloody, but I feel like it's kind of needed. There's something really inventive in the violence of these films. And this one was kind of like ho-hum. I actually really liked the first half, when it was setting up the whole dangerous game aspect of the movie, which even our screener notes said loosely based off of. It's pretty much.
No one's denying. They can't.
Yeah.
You'd be lying if you said, I've never heard of that movie or book before. Yeah, yeah, bullshit.
But after that first half, it turns into something else to be kind of its own thing. But I don't think that what it turns into is as exciting as the formula that it was sticking with for a while.
This is more a movie about stealth than direct action. A lot of our characters have to hide. They have to lay traps. They have to, you know, try to avoid detection. So I understand where you're coming from, because I kind of had that same thought. I'm like, oh, this seems to be the new trend where Western filmmakers who like doing action movies go to Asia where they can get martial artists who are highly skilled and for a relatively small budget make some really solid action movies. Here, and you're right, the action isn't bad. But no, it's not the raid. It can't be. This isn't an army of guys taking out a compound. It's, you know, a good 70% of this movie is just a guy running through the woods trying not to be found.
Yeah, see, that was my main problem with it too, is the action was decent, but the choreography didn't seem great. Like the punches didn't seem like they had any weight to them. Like anytime he tried, the main character was punching somebody, it almost didn't look like the punches actually connected with the enemy. It just seemed a little off. And then they didn't seem like the fight scenes were long enough, I guess. Usually in a movie with like a lot of martial arts, like the fight scenes are usually choreographed like very long, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this movie's around 90 minutes, just a little bit more. We keep mentioning the main character, but there's other characters in this movie who have slightly more characterizations than he does. Jin actually spends a whole lot of time off screen because he's out in the woods running. Unbeknownst to him, one of his colleagues from the Chinese agency that he works for shows up in Cambodia going, look, we tracked this guy. We had a GPS on his wristwatch, and this is the last known location. And of course, the warden's like, I've never heard of this guy. This ends up becoming kind of a bone of contention for me because they introduce a character, it seems just so that she can become a damsel in distress. And I just didn't find that character or that interaction interesting enough to warrant that inclusion. I'm like, you know, this was fine without all this other stuff now.
Yeah, and plus it was like, what are you guys thinking going into the middle of like a Cambodian like jungle? You're definitely something's gonna happen. You're gonna get kidnapped. Yeah,
I'm gonna flash my badge, which is from a different country. I'm like, no, you clearly don't have jurisdiction here. They're not going to respect you and just follow your wishes. But of course, by that is one wrinkle that I thought was plausible. They're like, because the warden figures out who they're talking about. And he's like, oh, shit, we've already sent that guy out to be hunted. So, of course, he can't hand him back over. It's too late.
Even though his assistant, like, blurts out the truth every time. Yeah. He's like, nope, just, no, you didn't hear that. Never
like,
mind.
He had a watch. What, you mean like this watch? Like this prominent huge watch that I'm holding here? It's like, yeah, there's a lot of moments like that where it's just like, look, guys, I get it. This movie doesn't have to be that smart. It just has to be good enough to support the action. And you're right, there is action in it. It's mostly pretty good. But if you're expecting the raid, this is more like a 80s, 90s, this is like a Jean-Claude Van Damme, Schwarzenegger kind of movie. This has kind of got like Predator vibes, only without an alien.
Mm-hmm. This does have that kind of feel to it, but unfortunately it's missing what makes those movies really fun, which is the one-liner having charismatic action hero, or just any kind of really real moments of levity. I think this movie also kind of suffers from just being kind of straight action and survival from the get-go. There's really not a lot of rest from that, and it gets kind of exhausting only in the sense that it's not entirely too exciting. And I feel like if they had a few moments of humor, that probably could have helped it out a bit.
Did anybody else think it kind of dragged a little?
Yeah. It's both fast-paced and not, because again, like you said, a lot of the action is people running through the woods. And then I don't know how far I want to get into this, but like the third act, there's a significant turn almost in what type of movie it is. Like, it suddenly becomes kind of a siege movie instead, which could be an interesting twist as well, but really wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of movie that I agree. It needed a little more levity. It needed to have a little more fun with its pulpy premise. If it wasn't going to be hardcore action, we at least need a bit of the humor that comes with an adventure story. I could deal with this as an adventure story, but doing it as this sort of brutal actioner, or at least trying to bill it that way, I felt a little underwhelmed in spite of some of the good things in the movie. And so they have to rely on the villains being kind of eccentric scenery chewers, but I felt that was very mixed as well.
Yeah, I did. I did like the main, one of the main villains, the nephew. I liked the random Cambodian guy that he found to help him. That guy was like one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, that, no, I agree. That does come a little bit later, where he finds a local to help him track this other guy. But the villains themselves, that particular villain, who I don't know how intentional it was, the fact that he's simply referred to as T or sometimes Mr. T. I don't know if that's supposed to be a laugh. Yeah. I doubt it. I don't think so. You know, he is there. He's the youngest member of the Hunters. He is an extraordinarily rich asshole who has been brought in by his uncle, with whom he has a very poor relationship. And without giving too much away, at some point we see the nephew. We figure out pretty quickly that the nephew is not emotionally stable. Not that anybody who, you know, pays money to hunt people is emotionally stable, but he is really kind of going on the off the edge. But I don't think that characterization was consistent either.
No, it was not.
It's kind of implied that he was kind of like tested on or something, or he was in some sort of mental institution. And it's something that they bring up in the most confusing, out of nowhere way possible. Like, there's, I would say that there's previous indication that, yes, this guy is kind of eccentric in his depravity. He clearly likes killing people, maybe a little too much, more so than the other people in that are doing the same sport. But the moment that it turns into he's a kind of like a full-on psycho, I thought that was delivered pretty poorly. It really did feel out of nowhere.
Yeah, and I think the problem, and again, I won't get too much into this, but they literalize his madness in a way that I think is too clever by half. There's certain things that he does in this movie that I don't need to see to know that he's crazy. The actor seems perfectly capable of conveying all of those emotions happening under the surface, but then we get kind of flashbacks or hallucinations, whatever you want to call it. And I'm like, nah, dude, I didn't need to see that. I was already with you. I got it. He's cuckoo nutso. You don't need to do anything else to show me that.
Well, and even if you didn't, that's just it. They're very obvious about showing it, but they're also really obvious about telling it, because there's a conversation he has near the later part of the film with the uncle, where it's clear that there's this massive family tension between him and his uncle and his dad and all this stuff. And everybody has a really, really shitty opinion of this kid anyway, and they'll tell him that. So it's clear that even if you didn't somehow get it from his personal tics and the literalization of the things he's experiencing, you literally have a guy who's like, you're crazy and we should have just murdered you when you were an infant. So, I mean, I don't know.
Which makes the uncle look stupid.
Right.
Like, are you going to bring the most unstable person you know to this event just because they have the cash? You know, it's like, wouldn't you be concerned that he would, like, affect your reputation somehow? They're like, hey, man, we're never having you back because the last time you brought your fucking nephew, a lot of our guys ended up dying too.
Yeah, I don't know. I really wanted to like this movie because I mean, it's a Most Dangerous Game movie. We've mentioned that a million times. But I'm here for those, like any of them. I'm always curious to see what they're going to do. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And to kind of wrap it up I think this is another one where I was excited for it because, hey, it's another Most Dangerous game. But I don't know that the things it did to be different were really, they really worked.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, it's a reliable formula.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's just how you do it. And did you do it well?
Right.
Yeah, and we just got The Hunt in, like, February.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just thinking, you know, we reviewed The Ravishing not too long ago, and that also had elements of the Most Dangerous game. I mean, anytime you have one person who is running away from a bunch of superiorly armed opponents tracking through the woods or the jungle and trying to survive through booby traps and stealth and just, you know, plain old luck, you can't help but think of the Most Dangerous game. But like LeWayne was saying, mm-hmm. I like those too. It, like I said, it's a sturdy formula. It always works. All you can do is fuck it up. And these guys didn't completely fuck it up, but there's just a lot of things that feel like they are undercooked or underserved by a budget that isn't big enough or a director who doesn't have the resources or the experience to really pull this off in a more impressive manner. But before I go any further, because I'm trying not to go into spoilers, why don't we go ahead and lead into our final thoughts? Max, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I was just thinking through the whole movie. Like, I don't know if it's, like, some kind of cultural difference or the acting was just bad. It's really hard to tell since I've never watched a movie with actors from these countries before. So I don't know, but I don't know. I didn't like the first half an hour of the movie until he actually got sent out into the jungle. And then at that point, I really wanted to hate the movie, but something was just kind of like there. I started getting into it just because it seemed interesting. And then nothing really happened throughout the movie that I was interested in after that. There's really not much else to say, honestly. So I guess I'll give it like a, I don't know, it's not the worst movie ever. It just kind of happened. So I guess I'll give it a 4 out of 10 random dogs chasing you.
Okay. Adrian?
Yeah, I like this formula. I like martial arts movies like this. And yet, this just really didn't do it for me. I don't think it's outright bad, but I'm not going to really recommend anyone see it unless you just have to see an action movie. I guess it's something new. I don't know. It could have been better. This is definitely better than whatever black and white first version of the Most Dangerous game came out was. But it's not as fun as surviving the game. And
I was wondering when someone was going to bring up surviving the game.
And it just kind of falters because of that. I'm sure that the crew behind this will do great things because the martial artists and the stunt work, they're great. Of course they're great. And they do put on quite a show. I just need a little more. I'm going to give this 2 cameos from Ice-T that would have been kind of cool out of 5.
I mean, you know, I'm sure he's available.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely available.
LeWayne
should have got a machete.
Yeah, that's who you get when you can't get Danny Trejo. You know, it's like, well, shit, we can't get Danny. Is Ice-T around? get me somebody. Get me a Wayans brother. Get me, you know, one of those Baldwin brothers who isn't famous. Somebody. Wayne, what are your final thoughts?
Man, like I said, I like Most Dangerous game trope. I am here for it. Like, I always want to see what it's going to be. But this one's fine. I mean, it's not the worst version of this that I've ever seen, but it's not surviving the game. It's not Hard Target. I mean, it's more like Death Ring. And that had, like, Chad McQueen and Mike Norris and Don Swayze. I mean, like, all of the tangential to other people who actually knew what they were doing sort of things. I kind of like Jin, or the actor playing Jin. I liked some of the minor characters, the villager that Max referenced and his kid. There's a little additional thing with the kid that was sort of an interesting thing to see them add, but it doesn't really change the movie. In the end, this is kind of, it's in the middle. It's like 2.5 out of 5 sign language gestures.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Wayne. This is right down the middle. Not good, not bad. This reminds me of those kind of movies that I would occasionally review for Digital Noise with Richard Whittaker, and we'd get into it because he was a lot more forgiving of some martial arts films than I was, because he was a fan of the genre more than I was. And when we would disagree about some, he'd go, "This is a good pizza and beer movie." And I would say, yes, this is a fine pizza and beer movie, but please do not spend a lot of money on the pizza or the beer. Keep it consistent with the movie. So this is like, you know, one of those $2, you know, microwave pizzas and a six pack of Rolling Rock kind of good. I have to give this, 5 out of 10 blown off legs. And on that note, gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and get myself out of here. I need to do a little working out, need a little run around, get some sprints in, because I'm getting a little soft. And I know when the day we can all leave the house, Chris is going to come hunting for all of us, and I intend to outrun all of you.
I'm just going to try to switch sides.
Ooh, you clever bastard. That would work.